It's been brought to my attention that there are participants in this congregation who call my office to ensure that they know when the encounter service is so they don't show up on that Sunday. But there's some basis behind this, because a lot of us have come from non-spirit-filled environs. And those of us who were raised in those scenarios have a theology that opposes the activity of the Holy Spirit. My observation in dealing with ministers across the globe is that if they can't control it, they're not sure they want to participate in it. And as C.S. Lewis said, Aslan is not a tame lion. So I want to stir us up about our relationship with Jesus and build the bridge between your understanding of the Lord and his assignment of his Spirit to continue the activity of the Lord within you. I was born again after a lot of time in church when I was about 16 years old, and it was a very dramatic encounter for me with the Lord. And it was some 8 years later that I migrated through a series of circumstances, including Navy travel, etc., to come to the place where I entertained the possibility that it could be that the Holy Spirit is still doing stuff today. Mm-hmm. And so 8 years later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, which was for me a baptism into the love of God. And it was the second major life-changing event in my pilgrimage with the Lord. There have been times since then when, as I sit and study, the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit will come on me so strong, I actually have to get up and walk away and kind of shake it off. Because the downloads that he does from time to time defy my ability to process all the information in the moment. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But it's a common experience for me to experience the manifest presence of the Lord in my deployments. It's like I step up on the platform or soapbox or wherever it is on this planet, and he just kind of goes, I'm here, let's do this. And I can't tell you how gratifying it is to have him do that. That little thing that he does to make you aware of his presence. Can anybody nod, indicating you have some idea? Okay, three of us. That's good. The rest of you got some stuff to learn. But I want to spend a few minutes with you in the scripture to try to nail down some clarity for us about how Jesus is the instigator in your relationship with the paraclete. And that's not a pair of shoes you wear on the ball field. It's the Greek transliteration into English of the word for helper. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete. And we'll spend some time on that. But first I want us to read a passage of scripture out of John chapter 14. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Now, you remember, this is him just about to bug out. And so he's talking with his folks the night he's going to be betrayed. And he says this to them. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you'll see me because I live, you'll live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. Jesus is speaking here, and he's prepping them for the departure of the God-man from the planet. And in it, he says, my Father, I will ask my Father, and he will give you another, numerically different, but absolutely the same as. The word is allos. It means one of like kind. Now, if you hold to the fact that God is one, and these are three manifestations of who he is, the Holy Spirit is the same as Jesus in that he is not, only in that he's not here physically. He's the umbilical cord that connects us to the Father. And Jesus says, I'm going to send you another one who is just like me. Now, in my reading of the New American Standard, you see the word helper, but the word parakletos is also translated as comforter, teacher, advocate, counselor, helper, and guide. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. And to engage him is to access all of those aspects of his person. And he has been sent here for you. You're the reason he has come. Because you have said yes to Jesus Christ. And in the saying, he, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, was the agent of your transformation. He is the supervisor of your maturation. He is the intercessor that moves through you in prayer. He is the empowerment of God through you to put Jesus on display in visible ways. John uses this word, paraclete. He's the only one in the New Testament to use this word in five different locations. One, we have just read. I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another helper. But in 14:26, but when the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. It is his job to enlighten you about what Jesus is saying to you. You have a teacher. Do you realize that when you read the Bible in whatever form or media you use, it's the only book I'm aware of that when you read it, the author is standing there at your side. So when you say, what does this mean? Don't just go, I wonder what that means. Say, what does this mean? Because the teacher is prepared to reveal to you what it means. At that season of your life, and when you come back to it 12 years later and you're different, it will be deeper for you. I promise. John 15:26, when the helper comes, who I'll send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. John 16:7, but I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, guess what? He can't come. I need to leave you 11 so he can come to you 7.2 billion. That's pretty good trade. Now, I want to make note of how John uses this in 1 John chapter 2 to make the bridge clear to you. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, a parakletos, with the Father. Who? Jesus Christ, the righteous. The parakletos is both Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus. So whatever you attribute to Jesus in your life, you attribute to the Holy Spirit as well. Penny, are you aware I've got a PowerPoint for this? Please download it. It didn't? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I wanted you to see as well as hear. Now, there are lots of attributes that the Scripture attributes to the Holy Spirit. I'm looking primarily at the ones here in John chapter 14. But our relationship to the Holy Spirit is eternal. Verse 16 says that he will be with you how long? Forever. Your relationship to the Godhead through the person of the Holy Spirit is eternal. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that might be important to know him now?
Yes.
He not only speaks the truth, verse 17 says he is the Spirit of truth. That means there's no way he can lie because it is totally contrary to him. God is not a man that he should lie. When you're interfacing with the Holy Spirit, there's no point in arguing your point of view. He is truth. And what he says is always true. And if he says something that crosses you, that means you have a lie that needs to be excised from your life. Amen. The Spirit of truth speaks the truth because he cannot speak anything but the truth. You can perceive his presence and his activity because verse 17 says, you will know him. And that's not knowledge of the head. It's gnosko. It's the experiential reality of the person of the Holy Spirit. Are we making any ground here?
Yes.
All right. This is important stuff in order for us to be able to totally embrace the concept of an encounter service. Because this is about you and him and us and him together. You have his testimony within to his reality in this way. Christ says that he will be with you. Now, when we talk about the manifest presence of God, we're using words to try to communicate what it is that you sense in your being when you know if there's something other in the room.
Amen.
When Rhonda and I and Alexia and Bonnie were in Cuba a few weeks ago, the manifest presence of the Lord in those meetings was so intense you could not notice. It was a powerful, it's like the Spirit of God just settled down over the place and brooded his presence. It was as rich and thick as anything I've experienced in many, many, many years. The Holy Spirit also confirms to you your reconciliation to the Father as his heir. Now this is important. Remember, Jesus says, I will not leave you as
orphan.
What is he saying there? He recognizes that you are a spiritual orphan. And he is going to restore you to your sonship, your childhood, your estate in the Father. I will come to you. And how does he come? He comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Romans says, you have not been given a spirit of fear to slavery again, but you have been given the spirit of adoption whereby you cry,
Father.
Why can you say that? Because the Spirit of God has reunited your spirit to the author of your spirit. And you have now a sonship, an heir. You are sons and daughters of the living God, and no amount of bad behavior can change that relationship.
Amen.
I grew up in a religious environment that said, once you're saved forever, except if you do this, do that, do this, do that. I mean, it was in, you can't process that. Remember, your disobedience does not nullify your destination. You forfeit your destiny. And there will be some tears in heaven over that. But the Holy Spirit is the one who gives life to you even in this mortal body. He is our life in this life and the life to come. Christ says, because I live, you will live also. And when he talks about life, he says here and beyond. Here, he says, life and life abundantly. No man has left houses or family that he will not receive in this life 100-fold. You think he was lying?
No.
No, part of the reason we don't experience that is we just simply don't believe it. If that's true, then where is it, Lord? Look, I've got houses all over the country and the world I can stay in. Somebody else takes care of them. I just show up to visit. You see? When you're part of the family, the Lord makes a place for you in the entire household. Some people labor with Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your what? Your mortal bodies. Don't confuse that with resurrection from the grave. You're not going to be resurrected with a mortal body. You're going to be resurrected with an immortal body. Now, part of the consternation in trying to come to grips with a truth like that is to see a situation like this. If that's true, how do I reconcile that? I have no idea. Am I going to stop praying for the sick because some of them die? Not a chance. Why? Because my responsibility ends with my prayer. I am not responsible for the outcome. I am not the healer. But I have a relationship with the healer. And I can call upon him. What he's doing that I don't understand is his business. But I will be obedient to the death, and then I'll know with greater clarity. I don't expect to wander around eternity with a lot of questions. When I see him, I will know him as he is, and I will be like him. But the Holy Spirit is the agency by which Jesus dwells in us. In that day, you will know that I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. That is so weird, I don't even know how to wrap my mind around it. You are in the Father because you're in Jesus, and you're in Jesus because he is in you, and he is in you because he is in the Father. Blah, 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 blah. Now, the difference between religion and relationship is the Holy Spirit's activity in your life. Okay? These are just words on a page unless you understand the bookends. Look again at verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now look at verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. In ASB, disclose. It's also translated manifest, reveal, show. I've seen Jesus twice. He speaks to you with some regularity. Because I have a relationship with him, not just to his Bible. One of the things that I find challenging is how often these commentators will exalt the written word. And I'm fine with the written word, but you need to understand this. God was speaking long before there was ever a written word. The people who left Egypt did not have a Bible. They had his presence. Moses said in Deuteronomy 5, he led you in the wilderness these 40 years to teach you one thing. You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And if he is still speaking, he is speaking today to you. Now, if you get weird, we will unweird you with the word. The scripture is a foundation block in our walk with the Lord. But the Holy Spirit is the teacher of that word. I have many, many Christian friends who are indoctrinated, but they are not educated. And in their indoctrination, they have been taught to distance themselves from the very teacher they claim they want to know. In this house, we welcome the Holy Spirit. Routinely, we say, welcome, Holy Spirit, because we know he's here to represent Jesus. He's here to cause the Lord to become bigger in us. He's here to demonstrate the activity of the invisible realm in the visible realm because of what he's willing to do in, for, and through us. We call it testimonies.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 13 says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. There will be a day when there is no longer any requirement for faith or hope, but love is the eternal reality. Loving Jesus now becomes more rich then, but telling Jesus to talk to the hand does not serve you in any way. When the scripture talks about love, it's not talking about emotion. It means to esteem, to love, indicating a direction of the will and finding one's joy in someone. Now, how important is the Lord Jesus to you? At whatever measure you can measure that, you can ascribe it to the activity of the Holy Spirit as His representative in your life. When we come to an encounter service, we do this for your sake, so that you have an environment where you have the opportunity to experience His presence and let Him tune your being to His reality. How many of you know what it's like when you're sitting in a restaurant and you start talking about the Lord and His presence shows up? Now, those of you who can't raise your hand, you need to get tuned. Attuned to His presence, because your being will respond differently than the person sitting next to you. I have a number of friends whose responses to His presence cause me to be glad I don't have their responses. I have a friend. And when he shows up, this is her response. If you do that in the department store or the supermarket line, people simply aren't going to understand. I have another friend. The way their being responds is like this. Now, this is much more desirable to me publicly because people will presume I have Parkinson's and I can go on my way. Those two illustrations are simply to say that the Holy Spirit and you can be partnered more closely than you presently are. And one of the ways you get that partnership is by spending time with Him. Not just as your teacher and your comforter, but as the presence of the eternal here in the temporal. That's what we have access to, folks. The invisible realm made visible by His activity to our eyes. He is the gift of God to you. Why am I in a lab coat? Doctors practice what?
Medicine.
Lawyers practice what?
Law.
What do Christians practice? Experiencing the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now that means when we have an encounter service, our goal is for you to learn to respond to Him. Not everything He says to you is private. Sometimes He says things to us, to you, that are for us. And when that happens, when you have a sense of something, don't... I love it when people do this. Their throat gets dry, their palms get sweaty, their heart starts to beat, they feel like they're hearing something from God, and they say, "Oh, that's just me." I don't generally have thoughts on my own that cause my heart to palpitate and my palms to get sweaty. We need to learn to obey. Because here's the deal. If you won't demonstrate faithfulness in little, you are not a candidate to have more. Okay? Now, who's our prophetic lead today? Peggy, stand up. We're going to go back to worship, and the goal is for you to connect with the Holy Spirit. And if you feel like He has place some thought, some image, some impression, and you're not sure what to do with it, bring it to Peggy. That's her job, to help us sort through what he is saying. It might be just for you, but if it's for us, don't take our message to lunch. Let us eat it here. Now, if during the course of worship you suddenly have a pain and it lingers and you didn't have it when you got here, that's a word of knowledge for healing. What it means is there's somebody here with that pain in the area where you're feeling pain. And you want to come and bring it to? Yes, I know, darling. Bring it to Keisha, all right? And then she will administrate how we respond to that. The scripture says that when he comes, he will show you things to come. And one of the ways that happens is the Lord gives you visions of things with which you are unfamiliar. You might see a map of the Ukraine with a fire in a certain place. We need to make note of that, because it could be the Lord inviting us to pray in the Holy Spirit for what he's doing there. Lots of our friends are involved in international prayer. And their prayers, the answer to their prayer shows up on the 6 o'clock news. We're not limited to this room and what the Lord will do. Now, I want to ask you to think about this. If you're estranged from the Lord, you're mad at him about something, you've just been negligent in your personal disciplines, this is January 2019. I have a recommendation. Stop it! And re-engage the Lord. Boldly come into his presence. I don't care what you've done. His blood cleanses us from all sin. We can just start all over right now. If you've never made a commitment to Christ, oh boy, that's a decision you want to make pretty quickly. I don't know when your expiration date is, but you don't want to show up without your pass. And finally, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're still struggling with that. Jesus is the one. Jesus has two roles right now. One is to live to make intercession for you. And the other is that he is the one who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. He reserves those two things to himself. And if you have not settled that with to your own, I mean, the Bible shows us three demonstrations: speaking in tongues, prophesying, and magnification of God. That's the testimony to you that what you asked for, you got. If you hadn't got that, then hang out with the Lord today for that. Okay? Now, I don't want to have to preach this again. I don't. Our encounter services are about you and him. This is a place, a safe place. Nobody's going to speak harshly to you. If you mess it up here, not at Walmart. Because we can gently correct and instruct and learn from those things. Nobody gets it right the first time. Nobody. Okay? If you're still on training wheels, by the end of this year, let's take them off. Watch out for the hedge at the end of the lawn. All right, let me encourage you to stand. And I want you to say personally, I welcome you, Holy Spirit. I make myself available to you for your purposes through me in this house today. And we honor your presence. Brandon?